Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for dropping in for another Be Our Guest podcast episode. Thanks for being here. It really means a lot to us. Today, of course, listener questions headed your way, including some great questions about if you have a reservation for a dessert party at the Magic Kingdom and the park closes for capacity. Do you still get in? We address that question. We also talk about somebody who's looking to see the game, Ohio State, Michigan. They're going to be at the studios. Where can they watch some football? We give some advice on that. Also, are the amphicars at the Boathouse worth $125? We talk about that and much more on today's podcast. Lots of great questions coming your way. Don't forget today's show brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. We would love to help you plan your next Disney vacation. And don't forget, we're a platinum earmarked agency, which means Disney has recognized them for being the best of the best. Drop by themagicforless.com today. We'd love to help you plan that next trip. Themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link as you shop this holiday season. It really does help us out, and it's just one extra click. BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. And a sincere thank you to our patrons for supporting us each and every month, for helping us put this show out all around the world 3 to 4 times a week. We couldn't do it without you. If you'd like to support the show and get that bonus show, Mike in the Midwest, every Thursday, just drop by patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1997 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you. We hope that you are having a great day. Whether you're tuned in here in the United States, up in Canada, down in Mexico, down in South America, or happy summer down in Australia. We have lots of Australia listeners and our Australian listeners churn out for our live call-in shows on Sunday nights. So I'm going to just tell you, I think it's because it's Monday morning there and you're looking for something to do besides work. I don't know, but I'm guessing that's what it is. Shout out to all our folks down in Australia. But we are chugging along towards 2,000 episodes, and we are going to celebrate that next week. It's pretty amazing that you guys have stuck with us for that long, and we've had a good time putting all these shows together for you. And we have a good time answering your listener questions, and that's why we're here. So joining me today to answer some of those listener questions, she is back, and I've heard that she is now an honorary Muppet, just back from Disneyland, and I will also say a little paradise out in Hawaii. We have Ricky. You can check her always out over at themouseforless.com. What's up, Ricky?
Can I just say, seeing the Muppets in real life actually singing in front of me is like one of the coolest things, and I swam with sharks on this trip, so I mean,
what was cooler? What was cooler, swimming with sharks or the Muppets cruising down Main Street in the bus?
I don't know, both were pretty awesome, not gonna lie. So I had two bucket list things happen on this trip. Neither did I know that I needed in my life, by the way, but now that they have happened in my life, they are definitely bucket list. Oh my gosh. It was so cool. They were the actual Muppets and they were singing in front of my face. Like, that is just ridiculously cool. So,
Why are there so many songs? Anyway. All right. Also joining us, we have the coder of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. Pam, happy Wednesday. I have a question for you, but how's it going this fine Wednesday?
It's going great. It's Wednesday. We're approaching Thanksgiving. Can you even believe it?
No.
And it's just a good thing. And I just want to take, before your question, I wanted to take just a moment to thank, there are just so many listeners who book with our travel agency. And I was running some reports today and just looking at all that. And I just wanted to say how thankful we are for that. I don't get the opportunity to say it enough, but our listeners are just so loyal to us. And it just, we appreciate having the opportunity to work with you. We get so many nice emails. I love it when people send in pictures that we get to see of people enjoying their vacation. I will say, as a travel agent, there is probably nothing we cherish more than hearing how awesome your vacation was. So anyways, just a big thank you out there. We really appreciate you all. So now to your question.
And speaking of that, I got a great picture today from one of our listeners, John, who just got back with his family, and he sent a picture of a recap of the trip, and it was awesome. Started my Monday off a great way because we record these on Mondays. Okay, so question related to what Ricky just experienced out of Disneyland. Scott and I were talking about this on the call-in show, which you can hear tomorrow on the replay. Is that Disney does so many of these cool things that are like all of a sudden unexpected, like Muppet Mobile Labs back in the day, Lucky the Dinosaur. All of a sudden, yeah. The Muppets are cruising out, you know, singing Christmas carols on a bus. And then these things just all of a sudden disappear. Like, they're so cool. They get great response, and then you never see them again. I mean, what's up with that? Do you think this is one of those things that's going to be like, man, you saw it, and then it's gone. Like, you had a three-week, you know, window to see. I hope stuff like this sticks around in some kind of modified fashion.
So I think that there's a couple of reasons why. First of all, I think that they love to do what they call surprise and delight their guests, right? Something unexpected, something new. And I think that this, you know, in the day and age that we're in right now, it is very hard to surprise and delight guests as they're coming in, right? Because they have their day planned out to the T. They've read everything on the interwebs, right, about what's happening. They're keeping up with social media to see all those little, you know, exciting things. I think another thing that Disney likes to do is to test things out, to see how things are working, how guests respond. Is it getting, you know, the kind of play that they thought it would? Are people posting about it? Are they excited about it? All of those things. And these little limited time offerings, right, give them an opportunity to do that. They also get to test out all the technical things as well. And I think that that's really important for them too. So I think that we often see things tested and then maybe they are reincarnated as something else. So lots of cool things for Disney to do. But no, I understand. Like, some of them are so cool that you're like, why did they ever get rid of that? That has to be there forever. So I know that we're all huge fans of the Cavalcades. And I hope that, I mean, that was sort of a way that they could do something, right, with all the limitations. But I hope now that things are, of course, opening up so much more that we'll still see the Cavalcade. So.
Same. 100%. Yes.
But some of these things, though, like, okay, I got to see Lucky the Dinosaur at Animal Kingdom way back in the day. And I just happened to be, I mean, it was just, I was lucky that I was in the park that day. Like, in that part of the park where it was walk, it was back right by Primeval Whirl. It was back by Triceratops Spin. It was walking right back through there. And I remember it was like the absolute coolest thing. It was like a, you know, just an autonomous animatronic. It was the crazy.
Right.
It was just crazy. Like, it was jaw dropping. I mean, this was like 10, this was over 10 years ago, I would guess, at this point. And then it goes away. It went over to Asia for a while. And then, you know, it just went away. And it's one of those things that, you know, in 2021, you're thinking, was that like a fever dream? Like, you know, like, did it really happen or did it not? You know,
this, like, did I have so the short. Flu when I was at Walt Disney World?
Right. Because, you know, these things, you know, they happen. They're so cool. Like Muppet Mobile Labs at Epcot, you know, like the little, it was like modified Segway kind of thing with Beaker.
Yeah. Yes.
Bunsen Burner, whatever his name is. I don't know all the Muppet names.
Bunsen
Honeydew, whatever. Yes. Beep, beep, beep. Anyway, okay, first question today is why you're here. Beep, 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 beep. Scott question. He says, hey, Mike, I have an upcoming trip the week of Thanksgiving. There you go. One year we were at Disney for Thanksgiving. We ate dinner as pizza in the room at the Polynesian, which I thought was awesome. He said it was snowing back home, but my wife didn't care for it. This year we decided to book something that night and are doing a dessert party at the Magic Kingdom. Talk about an upgrade. Pizza in the room.
Well, yeah, I mean,
pizza in the room of the Polynesian, though. When you add at the Polynesian, that little prepositional phrase, that does help.
Yeah.
Our park reservations, though, are for the studios that day. So, okay. I see now that a lot of parks are at reservation capacity. Do I need to worry about park hopping? I have the option on our tickets. If I can't get in, would they refund my payment? Thanks for the podcast. Keep up the great work. Scott. All right, so he's got the park hopper. What if they close? Because this has only happened a couple times. What if the Magic Kingdom is closed for park hopping, but he has a hard ticket to go to the dessert party? How's that? What about that?
It's going to be. I did the dessert party as well. And it actually says during the reservation process that you must have reservations at the Magic Kingdom. That's part of the whole thing. I don't know how Disney's going to respond to that. The good news is that they have only closed for capacity, like, for any length of time for, I think, one day.
October 1st.
It was just one day. And even then, later on in the day, it was open again. So that's the good news. The bad news is I don't know what Disney would do about the dessert party thing. You don't really get, it's not special access because you have a dining reservation, because think of how many people would just make a dining reservation right at their second. And they actually tell you that through the dining process, whether you're doing the dessert party or whether you're booking a beer garden and your reservation was at Magic Kingdom that day or whatnot. So think about that. I would just watch and see what the crowd levels are sort of like leading up into that. Traditionally, Thanksgiving is not going to be as busy of a day as, let's say, between Christmas and New Year's.
Yes.
So I don't know that it will be that something that you really need to watch on. But the other thing is, if you're worried about it, I would just make my park reservations at Magic Kingdom that day. And because the parks have limited availability, I would be checking that system often to see if it was possible for me to switch my park reservation.
Or what I would do is I would hop in earlier than later. You know what I'm saying? Like, would that matter? Yeah. I mean, hop in around 2 or 3 and rather than trying to hop in. I guess, though, later in the day, it usually opens back up, though.
Like, it does. Actually, when it closes, it usually closes for that, like,
and then,
2
by 5 or
4,
6, it's usually opening back up. Yeah, so maybe that's not even the right strategy.
There is a phone number that you can call to find out the capacity, like, you know, if they're allowing park hopping.
And it will say on the app, too. It will, when you go to park hours, it will say park hopping available, blah, blah, blah. So.
Yes.
Good deal. All right, Alfred's got a question here. Good to have Alfred back here in the chat. He says, have you seen resort availability for the resorts the week between Christmas and New Year's, or is it completely sold out? It is almost completely sold out on site at Walt Disney World right now for that week between Christmas and New Year's. But always remember that availability does fluctuate. It's not fluctuating a whole lot this year. I was looking for a guest, actually. Shout out to my friend who I rode on the plane back from Walt Disney World with. We were riding back together from the 50th anniversary weekend. She was riding back actually to Pittsburgh. She's a member of the Plan Disney panel. And we were talking today. She wanted to surprise her family at the very last minute. The only thing we could find for her family was a treehouse, which I told her would be an incredible Christmas present. But she was thinking more like a Pop Century, so you couldn't
figure
it out.
There's a difference there. Yeah.
I was like, it's awesome. I was like, I'm telling you, man, I was in it. We did a podcast from a treehouse. It was the coolest thing ever. She's like, well, that's pretty sweet. I got you. But yeah, it wasn't exactly what I was thinking. You know, Santa's not that nice.
And that's where we've seen the availability most of the time is at the deluxe resorts or the deluxe villas resort. We aren't seeing a lot of movement in a value or a moderate. And just because, you know, we just had two of the moderates just open up recently, and one of the values that was scheduled to open is not going to be opening. So it's tight there. It just really is. So, but if you want to go, there will be something.
Yeah, seriously, you might get the Grand Nantucket Suite, which, I mean, Nantucket just sounds fancy to me. It's all I got to say. All right, follow
That's
up.
That's what I want on my Christmas list. Forget everything else. Just put me in.
Tuck it. Remember, you can give the gift of travel this holiday season, but it doesn't have to be for the day after Christmas. It could be for April. I'm just saying. You know, absolutely. You got a runner in your life, surprise them with a Run Disney weekend for late March, early April. Just saying. They'll freak out. I've been giving it for Christmas a Run Disney weekend. It was a great gift. I'm just saying. It's awesome.
We're not just talking about our Christmas list.
No, I'm just saying.
We're saying other people.
You want to do it for me? If Pam asks, my Pam, there you go. All right. So another one from Alfred real quick. Ricky, how was Disneyland at Christmas, like compared to Disney World? He just wants a brief, because you were just there.
I mean,
we don't need the whole trip report because this show isn't going to be as long as others. We're trying to squeeze this one in here. But give that feel. Was it more homey? Was it more Silver Dollar City? It kind of looked like that to me. I don't know. It looked cool.
You know, the thing about Disneyland is that they really do decorate everywhere in the parks. I mean, every inch of both Disneyland and DCA seem to be decorated. DCA has a very Epcot feel to it because they have the food booths because they have the Festival of the Holidays. So as we were walking around at night, it kind of felt a little Epcot, which was kind of cool. And I'm sure it was probably their inspiration for that. There are so many, gosh, I mean, the lands like Cars Land, are just so in-depthly decorated.
That does, like, look awesome. I was so jealous when you posted that picture. I was like, I'd love to be there.
I mean, Cars Land is just ridiculous as far as the detail and what they use to decorate. And, you know, there are car parts everywhere that are you know, used in unique ways. Like, they'll use a tire for a wreath and, you know, it just... lots and cones for like Christmas trees and, you know, just lots of different things to really decorate. Another area that's extremely decorated that you wouldn't necessarily think is actually New Orleans Square in Disneyland. It's different because they have like kind of like Mardi Gras feel to it with beads and giant masks and stuff like that. But it still has a Christmassy feel to it. Of course, they do have overlays with Disneyland. Well, actually NDCA, so they have overlays with Haunted Mansion Holiday, which was my first time experiencing that. And also, It's a Small World Holiday. Didn't get to experience that.
Great Flood of 21.
Yeah, I know, right? I was like, no!
Dude, is that not the last 2 years, like, summed up in? That'd be my life. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, I know, whatever. Right? I was like, you couldn't have filled this up, like, you know, a couple days in advance to try to test this?
You're kidding me.
Yeah, the day before. Let's fill it up. And then, of course, they have some... attraction overlays in Cars Land with Meters and also Luigi's Joy to the World. So they have, you know, some songs and stuff like that. So that's kind of cool. You know, it definitely has a very Disneyland, like you said, kind of has a very homey Christmas feel to it, 100%. And then DCA is just ridiculous as far as, like, they just go all out. It feels like just decorations everywhere in a way.
So it sounds like it might be like more Christmassy, like per square inch, than Walt Disney World. Like, if you're looking for, like, yes, the density of Christmas, because
the density
it's smaller,
of Christmas,
you know, if you're looking like, you know, Christmas, you know, yeah, density, maybe it's got it going on.
I agree with the Christmas density is much higher at the Disneyland Resort than it is at Walt Disney World. I would agree with that. Yes, yes. And, they do have a gingerbread house that they're working on too when I was there for the Grand Californian. So it's not quite as big, obviously, as the gingerbread, like, you know, actual house at the Grand Floridian. But it's more along the lines of, say, what you see at the Contemporary usually when they have their decorations up with the Cinderella. Well, I guess it's usually frozen characters and It's a Small World behind it. So it's more
so
on that
pretty
scale.
Too.
I didn't get to see the whole thing. Obviously, they were still working on it, but they had a picture of what it was supposed to look like, and it looked like it was really going to be really gorgeous. So, yeah.
All right. Chip Robinson in the live chat has a question for us. Got a question for a friend. He says he will be at Hollywood Studios during the Ohio State Michigan game, which is just called The Game. Any ideas where he might be able to watch it? I don't think there's anywhere within the park itself where there would be a TV to watch the football game that I can think of. Now, I'm trying to think outside the box here because you got the Skyliner access, so you could step outside the park, jump on the Skyliner under normal circumstances, and I cannot believe this has not been open during football season, ESPN. I mean, of all the places, like Jelly Rolls, Atlantic Dance Hall, like ESPN's not open during football season? I mean,
that's true.
It's like printing money.
Yeah. I wonder if they're, you know, not me throwing anything out there, but I wonder if they're considering retheming it.
Don't do that.
I'm sorry.
But yeah. I know this is like a great, because you're going to be at the studios, but man, when we went to Splitsville, there were so many TVs and great food and drinks. That's a great place to watch a game. Even if you don't have to bowl. But that was a great place. With the Poorhouse, City Works. That's a good place to watch a game. I saw they're serving the Thanksgiving dinner too, by the way, the other day online. So if you like, if you need Thanksgiving dinner, they're having a Thanksgiving.
There you go.
Yeah, but yeah, studios. I don't.
Diane's suggesting the Tap House, but they don't have any TVs there. So
they don't.
There's no TVs there. Yeah.
And
there's
most of the seating's outside too. There's like a little bit of seating inside.
Right. There's not much inside.
No.
And like, there's definitely.
You have to be very lucky to get the inside seat.
Right. Yes. Exactly. And sometimes you have to be very lucky to get an outside seat too.
That's 100% true. 100%.
Basically, any seat in Baseline is very lucky to get. Yes.
And do you guys play the Baseline Tap House game when you're there?
What's
that? So it's that game. Like, they always play those. They play weird versions of familiar songs. You're always like, I know this song.
I have the playlist. Yeah, I have the playlist.
I totally found out that there is a way that you can set up your phone. So if you just tap it twice on the back, Shazam will pop up.
Yeah, it's an accessibility shortcut.
So so behind on the times, apparently, but I was like, oh my gosh, I can learn how to do that? That's awesome. So,
yeah. I can't say anything because I just got a pre-lit Christmas tree, so I can't.
There you go.
I was going to make a joke about Welcome to 2021. But
I know, right? But you just joined us in 2015, basically, Mike. So.
I did. Okay, Jennifer says, we're going down to Disney World in January. With Magical Express not being an option anymore, is Uber our best option to get to the resort from the airport? Well, we kind of talked about this last week, I believe, on last Wednesday's show. So the things we talked about real quick is that Uber and Lyft, especially if you're there. Now, I don't know if Jennifer's going out for Marathon, but Marathon is where you're going to see this really hit, is that surge pricing is going to be crazy because all the runners are going to be getting there like on Wednesday and Thursday, especially dopey runners on Wednesday because you got to get to the expo. So the prices are going to be just outrageous to get from the airport to Walt Disney World. You might want to consider, especially if you have more than one or two people in your travel party, a private town car, you know, something like that. You look at like places like Happy Limo or Tiffany Town Car. There's a bunch of them. You can just Google it. People are asking for recommendations. Those are a couple, but just go out and kind of look and see what you can find because there's different vehicle types. There's different amenities. Some offer stops at grocery stores. It's really kind of what suits you. And there's also Mears Connect, and they have multiple options too now. It's not just like a straight one-size-fits-all kind of thing like Magical Express was. So you can check out MearsConnect.com. So lots of things. You just want to kind of check it out and to see. Right now is the time to do that, though. Kind of come up with a strategy so you don't get down there and be like, hey, how do I get over to the world? Because I think it's going to be a new world for a lot of us. The last decade, we haven't had to think about it. So good question.
I actually used a town car to get to Disneyland, and it was my first time doing that. The process was super easy, too, and they stopped for us. I actually got to go to In-N-Out, so...
That's what Hannah was telling me that.
I had never been, and they were like, you can choose to stop at a grocery store or In-N-Out, and I was like, that's where I want to go, so...
Exactly.
It was a little more money, but town car, really, if you've never done one... Honestly, it was so great. Brian and I both raved about it. Now, granted, Disneyland, Disney World, you know, difference there, but they're not going to stop at In-N-Out for you at Walt Disney World, but a lot of times they will have a grocery stop for you. So that kind of part is kind of nice. But the great thing about a town car is the fact that they come inside the
Did they say Ricky Dibbs on the iPad?
I mean, it wasn't fancy. It was just like a little, you know, piece of paper that had my name on
Whatever, selfie still, with that, Ricky Dibbs.
I didn't even think about taking a selfie with it. So dumb of me. But they have somebody there with a little thing that says your name on it. They have, you know, they pick up your luggage with, you know, he had a trolley so that, you know, he could take my luggage and we took it out of the car and that was that and dropped us off real easy. And so that part was great. And then picking us up was awesome too. So, you know, if you are worried about a town car, honestly, it was so worth the money. Just that extra perk of having like, you know, them come and literally pick us up inside while we were waiting.
Yeah, there's a value there. And at Walt Disney World too, first of all, if you have flight delays, if you have things like that, the town car is going to, you know, they're going to talk to you about your transportation and when you're flying in and things like that. But like Ricky mentioned, so many of the ones in Walt Disney World will do a grocery stop. Yeah. And even a short grocery stop, if you pick up some water and some breakfast stuff, I think you're going to see the value in that versus taking something like Mears Connect is really going to be there and could actually end up saving you a little money. So just something to think about as we move into this new age, for sure.
And it'll turn into a game show like Supermarket Sweep. Like you'll be like busting down the aisles.
You roll in and you clear.
Exactly. Always grab the turkeys. They're always expensive.
Yes.
Exactly.
Oh, gosh. I love Supermarket
Steaks.
Yeah.
And the steak, man.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Loading up on that.
Come on now. Yeah. Throwing like a couple hoses, garden hoses from like that.
Oh, aisle. Gosh. Yeah, yes.
You got to get the stuff that's super.
For sure.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. You know, Cara Brand has a good point here. Go to Rick's and watch this. They're going to see the Steeler game there. And that's really, Rick's is just across the street from the studios.
True.
You could be there pretty quick. I mean, there's no direct access, but you can hop a bus. You could be there. If you catch a bus at the right time, you could probably be there in 15 minutes. Good snacks, good apps, good place to watch a game. Here's a good question from Liana Vale in the live chat. I like this. This is a good opinion question. I have an opinion. We'll see. Are the Amphicars worth the $125? They look like a fun experience. Is 30 enough? Well, okay, let's stop there. She has more than that one question. Okay, so let me ask you, would you pay $125 to ride the Amphicars? Man, I've been wanting to ride these things for a long time, but I'm cheap. I watch them. I stand there at Boathouse and I watch them just on that little dock there where they spin around and they drive right into the water. And I'm just like, yeah, I'm like a little kid. Like, I just want to be in that thing, but I don't want to pay the money. One day I might do it. Again, like the lightsaber. Someday I'll have a lightsaber. Just not yet. I don't know. Pam, what do you think? I guess it's just what your priorities are. They look fun. I mean, I've had 30 minutes, or she doesn't ask about 30 minutes, but I mean, spinning out on the water, it's a fun experience, I'm sure. The pictures and
it
stuff.
It is. Yeah, for sure. I think that's funny. It's hard for us to tell you if they're going to be worth it to you.
Right,
but here are the
right.
things that I would consider, right? That you're absolutely making a memory. So are the people that you're traveling with really excited about? Because I love that. When somebody you're with is like super excited about something, then that always plays into my figuring of how much of a value this has for me and that experience. So if you have someone that's really excited about it, I think that's a cool thing. Is it something that you're going to remember and talk about? I'd get the picture. I'm doing selfies.
Yeah,
getting everything I can out of this experience, right? And if so, then I think absolutely it's worth it to you. I mean, think about it. For all the money that you pay for your vacation, we're talking $125.
All right.
So in the big picture.
I'm totally interviewing the captain. I'm like, okay. Tell
exactly,
me about
right?
Tell me about Silver Springs, you know, as we go by, all that stuff.
Okay. Yes. Just, and they do. And you know when I would do it? At like around sunset.
Yes. Golden hour. Yes.
Right? Yes, absolutely. You're going to tour by, you know, Saratoga Springs, and then you'll get to see the lights come on at Disney Springs, and it's really so pretty at night. I love Disney Springs now. I know some people like it. Some people aren't sure about it. Some people feel like it's all about the shopping and dining, which I'm like, yes, correct.
Well,
yes,
but it's entertainment, too. I mean, you got bowling. Now you have Drawn to Life, Cirque du Soleil. Welcome back.
And all the live performers that they have there. I am shocked by that. The number of live performers per square foot at Disney Springs.
The density of live performers at Disney Springs is pretty high. Yeah,
truly. That's truly the case. It's like you aren't even out of earshot of the other ones and you're hearing another one come up. And I'm so excited that that has come back. That, you know, outside of the parks, that Disney has really made an environment that's super entertaining. So lots of good stuff going on there.
You're right. That one guy, there's a guy that stands kind of outside the World of Coke or the Coke building there. And I swear he just sounds like he's a guy that just showed up. But I mean, he's awesome. But he just like he'll just like play some songs on a guitar and like everybody's just playing like name that tune with the guy. Like, does this guy work for Disney or did he just roll out of his car? Like,
I'm sure he works for
Disney. I know,
Disney.
But I mean, he's like so casual. It's so funny because like I told Pam, like, he's so casual. I don't even know if he's like actually on the clock. I don't know. Anyway,
I know.
Okay,
there's
so
just a ton.
Liana's got, I know, you're right. Liana's got another couple questions. Is 30 minutes enough time at Oga's for a party of seven with two kids to get a fun drink and have the experience? With two kids, probably the shorter the better. But, I mean, 30 minutes is probably good. I mean, you get your pictures, you see the environment, see DJ Rex mixing it up. You're probably there's a maximum time. I think you're only allowed to be in there for like an hour.
That's what I was going to say is they have a maximum time. I think it might be 45 minutes. So, yeah.
You only get 30 minutes is probably fine.
Yeah, 30 minutes is fine.
Personal opinion. Do you think there's any chance the Pirates and Pals Fireworks Voyage will be back for our trip in February? We've done it every trip since 2004. Thanks, and sorry for so many questions. Oh, that's why we're here. I mean, if we didn't have questions, kind of
we need
show.
The questions.
Again, here's one of those things. You know, they're bringing stuff back, but they're not giving like any kind of. It's just like they're saying it's back. And again, as the world is trying to return, you know, sputtering towards returning to normal, I think with, again, it is, you know, labor, right? I mean, you have to train people again. Pirates and Pals, that was a cool experience. But again, it's. You can't really just have anybody do that either. So you got to really, it's not an easy thing to do.
I think that one would be tougher because you would need to be close to the characters.
Because
doesn't that society. One has Captain Hook, I think, in it, right? So like you have to interact with the characters and they aren't letting any, even though they're doing the character sightings right now and you can have conversations with characters, they're not letting you get close to the characters right now. So, I'm going to say probably not just based off of where we are right now. So that's just a hunch. based off of that. Now, of course, things are changing. Like Mike said, things are moving and grooving, and we're just kind of going along for the ride. So who knows? We might see it come back. But at this point, I really, really can't see it coming back for a while, both because of the labor issue and because of the issue of the characters getting too close. You can't get too close to them.
And Jennifer saying she's, again, following up on the town car. She said, do you book that now? If you're going to get a town car or at the airport, you book that now. Go on their website. You just do it all on the website. Just book it now and you're set. And then we have the iPad with your name. You'd be like, Jennifer. Well, I'm sure the pride of your last name is probably a lot of Jennifers that could roll up and you know, be like, Mike. I'm Mike. Me. So is everybody. So is every third person walking through the airport.
Right.
Exactly.
Be our guest, Mike. I bet when you had the guy getting your luggage, you're probably like, I wonder what famous podcaster that is rolling into Disneyland.
Definitely not. No.
That's like Hannah Montana out here. What they say, you know.
Definitely not. That's a big negative.
Yeah. All right. Lisa's got a question. On our next trip, we have a Disney first timer with us. We're staying at Pop, but we really want to take him to see Animal Kingdom Lodge. Good call. With no reservation there for food, etc., should we Uber to Animal Kingdom Lodge or even possibly take a bus from Disney Springs? Pam, how would you go about that to show the lodge?
I would, just based on your best chance of getting in, take a bus from Disney Springs. I've actually seen them turn around Ubers, trying to drop people off at different resorts. Now, what I'm basing this on is Disney's actual rules, not the exceptions that do happen, at different times, but I just like to give people Disney's rules and then you can decide what you know, how you want to deal with that. But taking a bus from Disney Springs is absolutely the way to go. That is all kosher on Disney's end. So I would absolutely take that route.
I agree. All right. Last question of the day. And this one is a tough one, but let's try to tell you. It's actually, you think it's so easy, but it's really not. And it's from Tiffany down in Jasper, Texas. And she says, hey, Mike, Pam, Ricky, and Scott. We're giving Scott the night off here. He works hard on the weekends. Probably a quick and general easy question for y'all. In your experience, during any given week of the year, which day of the week would you say is the best to choose to avoid going to the parks for your resort or rest day? Thanks so much, Tiffany. Tiffany, this is the dude. I haven't thought about this. Like, which, if you had to pick, like, just any week, just given week, which, if you had to pick, like, one day, is it Monday?
To stay out of the parks? Rest day? Take a day off.
Yeah, to not be in the parks. Or is it Saturday?
That's what I was going to say. Yes, Saturday. Yeah.
Is it because you just don't like people that are from the 407? I mean, is that it? You just don't like those people? I don't know.
I was going to say Saturday and then maybe Friday. If you're going to pick a day. Yeah, those are the 2 days I would pick. Mm-hmm. Just because you got all the locals coming out. That's why. Yeah. So.
But don't most people? Okay. Yeah.
Let's put it this way. And people like me who live in Georgia who are coming down for a 3-day weekend. So, you know, or a 4-day weekend, depending. So,
Makes sense. All right. Good question. So give us feedback, though, on the social media at BRGuestMike. I'll retweet those. But what day, if you had to pick, what day would you have any given week? What day would you take your rest or resort day if you want to stay out of the parks to maximize that? Okay, cool. All right, well, hey, that's going to do it for today's show. Great questions today. Lots of variety there. We've got to talk about Amphicars, Disney Springs, transportation, Christmas. I mean, shoot, I call this show a winner. It's good stuff.
Yes.
It only took us about 2,000
shows.
We're
all over.
That's it. All right, don't forget today's episode always brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. We'd absolutely love to help you plan your next Disney vacation. It's very simple. Just drop by themagicforless.com. Check out the website. It's got all kinds of great trip planning tools right there for you to just check out. And while you're there, once you peruse the site there for 5 to 10 minutes, just fill out the quote form. It's very simple. Put in some dates, a couple of resorts, just what you're thinking, maybe tickets, maybe, you know, it doesn't have to be exact. That's the thing about the quote form. Just get it as close as you think, and then we can modify things as we go. But it gets us a ballpark. We can check availability for some dates, get some general pricing. Then we can narrow things down, really kind of lock it in as we get closer. But we just want to help you plan that vacation to make it the best experience possible at the lowest cost out there. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link as you shop online this holiday season. It really does help us out. We'd love it if you'd use that as you shop for everybody during the holidays. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And again, thank you to our patrons for allowing us to put this show out 3 to 4 times a week all around the world. Our patrons get a bonus show every Thursday called Mike in the Midwest. Jump in on that over at patreon.com. BeOurGuestPodcast. Give us a follow on the social media. I'm at BeOurGuestMike on Instagram and Twitter. Yeah, I forgot what it was
Twitter,
called there for a second.
Twitter, yes. Yeah, that one.
Good
yeah.
old Twitter. Pam's at TMFLT Pam. Ricky's at Ricky Nibs. Follow the show at BeOurGuestPod. And of course, Facebook and YouTube, you can subscribe over there. And join us this Sunday night, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central. We take your calls. And this past Sunday night, we had a ton of calls. There was one point we had 5 calls on hold while we were talking to somebody else. It was crazy. It was a good time. So if you didn't get in this past week, join us this Sunday. Fun Disney talk. Lots to talk about again on Facebook and YouTube this Sunday evening. Also, if you don't mind, one last, I just want to remind you, if you haven't done this in a while, we've been doing this for quite a while, almost 2,000 episodes. Please leave us a rating and a review on your podcast app of choice. If you download it on Apple Podcasts or Pocket Casts or Stitcher, wherever you get the show, if you could take just a few minutes this week and leave us a 5-star review and some kind words, that would mean a whole lot to us, and it helps with discovery. We get more people listening to the show, but we've had a banner year so far, but let's keep that momentum rolling. We appreciate that, and we appreciate everybody who has done that over the past 13-plus years. Thank you for taking the time for those kind words. All right, we're going to be out of here, but we'll be back again tomorrow with a replay from Sunday night's live show with Scott. And then Friday, we're going to be back with one of our old things we haven't done in years. We're going to talk Walt Disney World odds makers. We're going to play some odds on things that we think might happen in the future at Walt Disney World. May or may not, but we'll have a good time trying to, see what the odds are if something's happening or not. So until we get together again on Thursday and Friday, this is Mike for Pam and Ricky. You guys stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.